Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 4, and the first five verses. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his path." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. For the Lord God Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever.
The second reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 14, verses 12 to 26. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
I'm sure that many of us will know and love The Repair Shop, that programme on BBC One in which members of the public bring their precious possessions for the experts to repair them and bring them back to life. People bring old toys and furniture and musical instruments and ceramics. Some look worn and tired. Some are broken, sometimes in pieces. Objects that need restoring, putting back together, made to work again. It's a really heartwarming show and truly miraculous what the craftsmen and women are able to achieve. What you soon realize is that it is about far more than the objects themselves. Almost without fail, this object, now falling apart, is a link with a loved one, and is associated with really important memories of relationships, of love and laughter, perhaps sadness, certainly of shared history. This precious thing enables them to remember. It's something that takes them right back to people and days and times that they don't want to forget. It's what the object represents that matters, the connection that it provides and sustains. It seems that as humans, we need help to remember. Perhaps you too have an object or a place you go that helps you to remember someone. Freesia flowers will always remind me of my mum, and I have my grandmother's musical box, just to name two things. We associate the rainbow with our support for the NHS during COVID. And if you see blue and yellow ribbons fluttering together, we all now think of Ukraine. There are days that commemorate certain things. Holocaust Memorial Day in January enables us to remember the millions of people murdered under Nazi persecution and genocides that have occurred since. And of course, today is Remembrance Sunday, the day given to us as a nation to remember the service and sacrifice of all those who have defended our freedoms and protected our way of life, beginning with the First and Second World Wars and then the many conflicts since. We remember the armed forces and their families from Britain and the Commonwealth, and the vital role played by the emergency services and those who have lost their lives as a result of conflict or terrorism. The National Service of Remembrance held at the Cenotaph provides the whole nation with a physical and concrete reminder of all those who have served and sacrificed, with soldiers, sailors, airmen and women all represented. Our late Queen Elizabeth saw this as one of her most important engagements of the year and only missed it a handful of times in 70 years. Today is important, lest we forget. We are often forgetful human beings and we need to be helped to remember. We must be reminded of the cost and pain of war. We must remember those who gave so much. We must not forget. And of course, the most recognizable symbol of Remembrance Sunday is the red poppy. It struck me that this is a symbol that speaks to us of the past, the present, and the future. It takes us back to the first time that the red poppy became associated with war memorials, after scores of poppies bloomed in the former World War I battlefields of Belgium and northern France. Canadian soldier John McCrae wrote his poem in 1915 that began, "In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses, row on row." Flowers blooming in a place of death, a symbolic reminder of all those who have lost their lives in that conflict, and so in turn, in all the conflicts since. The poppy also speaks to us in the present, a reminder that these days of conflict are not all in the past. This is especially poignant this year with the war in Ukraine. We have seen so clearly with our own eyes the impact of one nation invading another, the great loss of human life, the size of which we don't yet fully know, the cost for those who have survived, cities and towns destroyed, the desperate need for food and medical supplies, and families, indeed from both nations, that will never be the same again, who have been separated or who have lost loved ones, while others have become refugees overnight, including many coming to our nation and indeed our town. How we need to remember. And as we do, the poppy is also a picture for the future, a reminder that we must never become tired of seeking peace. That's a peace that can begin with us, that in our own relationships we seek the good of others, we say sorry, we ask forgiveness, we extend kindness to those around us. And it's a peace that we seek for our nation and our world. Our first reading speaks of a day when there will be peace, when God himself settles disputes among strong nations far and wide, and where the weapons of war and death, swords and spears, become tools of life. We long for that day. The poppy reminds us to look back, not that we can change things, but that in remembering, we may listen and learn and live differently. In her Christmas message of 1996, Queen Elizabeth said, "In difficult times, it is tempting for all of us, especially those who suffer, to look back and say, if only. But to look back in that way is to look down a blind alley. Better to look forward and say, if only." Let us look back and remember again that with all that has gone before, we must do all that is within our power to work for peace. The poppy is the symbol that reminds us. Our second reading shows us that humanity was exactly the same when Jesus walked the earth in its need to be reminded. Jesus and his disciples are celebrating the Passover meal together. The Passover is the holiest festival in the Jewish year. At the time of Jesus, it had been celebrated each year for well over 1,000 years. Its purpose was for them to remember their deliverance from Egypt, and each part of the meal helps them to retell this story. They remember their past deliverance and also look towards the future Messiah who is to come and deliver them once more. In the middle of this meal, Jesus takes the symbols of bread and wine and uses them to speak of what he is about to do. For this is the night before he dies. And Jesus takes the bread, he gives thanks for it, he breaks it, and he gives it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." And in saying that, he is saying, "This is my person, my whole being, that he is giving of himself for his disciples." And then he takes the cup of wine and says, "This is my blood." As wine is poured out, so Jesus' blood will be poured out. He's not so much talking about the wine they are sharing in the upper room, but the blood he would shed on the cross the next day, poured out for many. Jesus is saying that he is the fulfillment of the Passover meal, that as they celebrate one rescue all those years ago, he is now going to bring about rescue through his death on the cross, a rescue for many, for you and for me. This was the whole purpose of Jesus coming to earth, not to serve, but to give his life as a ransom for many, a price he paid to set people free from sin and death. And this account of the Last Supper also tells us a bit about the people he came to rescue. Judas is about to betray him. The other disciples are about to run away in fear. Traitors and cowards, the frightened, the wayward, and the doubting. Jesus dies for them all, for us all. Jesus uses bread and wine to speak to us of his body and blood. And of course, Christians continue to share in this meal in a service of Holy Communion. It enables us to remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross. It is a meal that draws us together today. And it also speaks to us of a future meal in heaven that followers of Jesus can look forward to. It enables us to remember. On the table down on the dais, you might not be able to see it, but if you can, and do come and look afterwards, you will see my Tower of London, Poppy, one of over 888,000 ceramic poppies handmade in 2014, each representing a British and colonial soldier who died in World War I. I needed my own version of the repair shop a few years ago when I dropped it and it smashed into a number of pieces. Wonderfully, the person I was with scooped it up and her husband put it back together for me. And it's become even more precious because of this aspect of its story. War and hatred dismember. They divide, they mutilate, they separate. They smash hopes and dreams and futures. To remember, in a literal sense, is to pick up the broken pieces to be mended and restored. So my poppy reminds us of the way in which Jesus Christ, through the offering of himself, remembered in bread and wine, can pick up the broken pieces of our lives and put them back together again. So this Remembrance Sunday, let's allow these symbols to connect us with their meaning, lest we forget. Amen.